The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we talk about fishing and hunting and crabbing and shooting and wildlife and other related topics. Every now and then we talk a little bit about politics, especially when the General Assembly's in session and we're dealing with something of importance to Maryland hunters and fishermen. We'll talk about that. We do have a guest coming up next hour, Letha Grimes, who has been with us before. Letha's going to talk a little bit about what's going on in fisheries. She usually handles the youth program and some women in the outdoors events. Women in the outdoors is already filled, but we'll talk a little bit about that kind of stuff. And then there's yesterday, Maryland Department of Natural Resources sent out an email on scoping possible regulation ideas, and they need your feedback. So that's on the DNR website. We got that notification yesterday. They're looking to change some rules in as far as possession limits, all the areas of fishing, some crabbing regulations and things like that. So we'll get a little chance to go into that. If anybody really wants to, but we can talk about that. And whatever's on your mind. You're running the show for the first hour this morning, so your calls are welcome. Please don't hesitate to call here at 410 WCBM 680. That's our phone number. It's also our call letters and our location on your digital or your dial radio, 680 WCBM AM radio. What's our tagline? The biggest names in talk or something like that? The most powerful names in talk. And we do have that during the week. But, you know, us little guys take over on the weekend. And, you know, we can't compete with those big guys like Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage. And what's the other guy's name? Mark Levin. Yeah, those guys. No, I like Mark Levin. The politics is there is their end of the stick. So we're just here to do the little minor stuff, the local stuff, the outdoor stuff that has nothing to do with any of that. So that's why we would appreciate your call here at 410 WCBM 680 for the alphabetically challenged. That becomes 410-922-6680, and We're going to review a bunch of stuff today. A couple of announcements, a couple of things that we need to do to help some folks out along the way. Number one, Upper Bay Gun Club today. We're having our shoot and crab get together, and that's up in Newark, Delaware, Bear, Delaware. Actually, we're going to be going up there for a couple hours today, and then tomorrow is Waterman's Appreciation Day. That's down at the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum in St. Michael's, and we plan on going. We may even have a couple of interviews with some of the folks and celebrities down there, but we'll see how that goes. At least we're going to have a chat with them and maybe take some pictures, so that'd be good. So if you're looking for something to do tomorrow, the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum would welcome you. I think it's let's say, $18 or $19 a ticket, something like that. You can get them online, so you don't have to wait online at, I think it's cbmm.org or something like that. Let me look into Maryland Loves Crabs magazine here. I know that they have an ad in there with us. There it is. Sunday, August 14th, 10 to 5. Yeah, cbmm.org. I think it's $25 for a dozen crabs. And crabs, regional food and beer, live music, boat docking contest, and family activities. So you can enjoy that at the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum tomorrow. It is Hoyt Day at Cypress Creek Archery, and that's in Millington. It's from 10 to 5 today. I talked to my buddy Charlie there yesterday. Cypress Creek is a big Hoyt bow dealer. You can win a free Hoyt bow. You can stop and shoot the newest Hoyt bows. All you have to do is test drive a Hoyt Defiant bow. You can earn a chance to win a 2016 Hoyt Defiant Edition Dodge Ram pickup truck. So stop by and see Charlie over there at Cypress Creek Archery on Cypress Road in Millington, 32719 Cypress Road in Millington, Maryland. So, and then another announcement for Bow Hunters Den. Their anniversary is coming up on the 2021st. It's a customer appreciation store-wide sale, August 2021, at Bow Hunters Den. They're located in 3950 Sykesville Road in Finksburg at the intersection of Route 32 and 91. So stop by. You can win a Ballistic 2.0 from the folks at Mission Archery. And they're a new PSC dealer, too. Just throwing that out there. 410 WCBM 680, 410 922 6680 is our phone number. We got a wonderful, we'd love to hear from you. Come on, 410 922 6680. We got a wonderful letter from the folks at Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. And in my rush to get here this morning, I failed to print it out, but I can read it to you off the phone. And here's what it says. This is Wednesday, August 10th. Dear Maryland Hunting Coalition, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry, FHFH, we'll use that for short, greatly appreciates the work and support of the Maryland Hunting Coalition. The Maryland Hunting Coalition works tirelessly behind the scenes year-round to fight for the right side of hunting issues and protect the opportunities we all have as sportsmen and sportswomen. Recently, there was great uncertainty regarding continued grant support for FHFH with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Over the last 10-plus years, FHFH, in conjunction with the chapter raised support, has received the continuing support of the Maryland DNR with a wait a minute. This is on my phone. That's why I'm having problems here. All right. Over the last 10-plus years, FHFH, in conjunction with Chapter Raise Support, has received some level of grant support through the state of Maryland to help pay for the processing of donated deer. Upon hearing of this uncertainty, the Maryland Hunting Coalition went to work with the help of Coalition Advocate Bill Miles and was instrumental in gaining the continuing support of the Maryland DNR with a $50,000 grant for deer processing with FHFH. On behalf of FHFH and the hungry individuals and families of Maryland, we extend great thanks to the Maryland Hunting Coalition for helping to secure this funding. Through efforts such as this with FHFH and countless other causes, the Maryland Hunting Coalition continues to solidify its critical importance to hunters and hunting groups across Maryland. Thanks to Alan Ellis, director of MHC, the rest of the team for their support of FHFH. In his service, Matt Wilson, the Maryland FHFH coordinator. So it was nice to receive that letter. That they were acknowledged the support of the Maryland Hunting Coalition in getting their their grant for them. So it's all good. Let's talk to Bill in Pasadena. Let's talk about bluefish. Good morning, Bill. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Yeah, this winter, man, when I was, like, you know, years ago.
And, yeah.
You know, I used to get down to, when I was a kid, kind of Downs Park, Fort Smallwood Park.
And yeah.
We catch snapper blues, and then in the fall, the big slammers would come in, you know, 10 to 15 pounds or more, you know, and then, you know, I haven't really been a couple of years, but I understand it's just like they're gone.
Yeah, they're a cyclical thing, and, you know, used to be we could count on them. For years and years and years, we could count on them, and then all of a sudden they disappeared. And don't know if that was over harvest. We don't know if they've changed their cyclical migration. You know, they migrate across from the coast of Africa, across the Atlantic. And I don't know what happens when they hit the Gulf Stream, if they just stay off of our coast and don't come in the bay anymore. Now, there are plenty of them in the lower bay right now, but they're not those big slammers. There's not those big 10, 15 pounders, but these are decent sized fish, 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds. So maybe we're getting ready for another big cycle here. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the bait fish aren't here.
It was like back in like the late 70s. There was a guy named Otto Passman. He caught 18 pounds, 6 ounce bluefish at Fort Smallwood.
Yep.
Then on November 6th of that year, this guy named Hank Mayo caught a 20 pounder down there.
Yeah.
And I still remember a picture he's got, you know, he had, I don't know if he's, a lot of these old timers are probably gone now, but he had a picture, he's like, they said the blues are gone, but this one passed, waited for me. And it was like in November 6th, he caught a 20-pound blue at Fort Smallwood Park.
Yep, that's a big bluefish, no question.
Now, there's a few of them stragglers, you know, kind of hung around there.
Yeah, yeah.
What I heard, there was like these, they had these planes with sonar. This was, you know, probably, I don't know, probably 15, 20 years ago. And they would have the sonar, and they would drop these big nets and capture the entire school of blues, and they would just, like, sell them overseas.
Yeah, that's probably true. It's what they do with the menhaden now, too. And if the menhaden aren't coming up the bay like they used to, the bluefish aren't going to follow them either.
Yeah, so I wonder about the spot, too. I really don't do as much fishing as I used to. I've got to get back into it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's what I understand. A lot of these things aren't... you know, they aren't really coming up here anymore.
Right.
But I really just started listening to your program. You kind of touched me one time when you were talking about the Father's Day program. And kind of Mother's Day kind of hit me because I used to have my mother. She was in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
I took her to Sandy Point State Park. She passed away in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in 1998, we're up at Sandy Point State Park. We're up by the Marine Police off to the right-hand side. There was a sunken boat back there. She caught like an 11.5-inch white perch. She got a citation for it.
Nice.
And so there's some good fishing back in that creek there.
Yeah.
I even caught chain pickerel back in there a couple of times, you know, when the weather got like in November and all that.
Right.
But I was mostly worried about the blues, you know. I was just
thing
or if they're just the commercial fishing are taking them all.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I do.
So hopefully they'll make a comeback.
Well, the bluefish are gone. The Atlantic mackerel are gone. You know, if you think about it.
I never caught a mackerel. I've heard you got to use the lure. You got to really speed the lure up in order to get them to hit it.
No, you're talking about king mackerel offshore or a Spanish mackerel in the bay. I'm talking about the huge schools of Atlantic mackerel that used to come up the coast. And they go out in the party boats.
Fishermen.
What's that?
I'm strictly a shore fisherman.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. I make the most of it. I just catch my own grass shrimp and put a thing in the ground, get my own night crawlers, and there I go.
Good for you, buddy.
I'm at Lake Waterford Park, and I just go down there. And 20 years ago, it used to be a big channel catfish up to 9 pounds. Now it's it ain't all that anymore, just little bullheads and all that. But
things have changed.
Just basically, you know, just kind of, you know, catch my own bait and go out there and live off the land.
You got it. Enjoy it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. There goes Bill. Bring back some memories about this big old bluefish. I'll tell you what. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. You want to talk about the blues? You want to talk about the mackerel? You want to talk about the days going by? We can do that here. I've been here 28 years. I remember it all. So Well, at least last 28 years of it. Other than that, pretty much gone. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Before we took Bill's call, we were talking about the farmers and hunters feeding the hungry for the upcoming deer season, and their funding. There's a letter in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly that came out last week that actually it's kind of a press release how short their funding was. And hold on here a second. Here we go. How short their funding was, and the fact that the you know, the Doe Harvest Challenge wasn't going to be out there this year. There's no funding from the farming community for farmers and hunters feeding the hungry. They were getting a grant from the Maryland Farm Bureau, the Soybean Board, and the grain producers here in Maryland. And it was a sizable grant. It was a nice little chunk of money. And then, of course, the Doe Challenge was supported by such folks as Bass Pro Shop with the gift cards and that type of thing. Well, that's all gone. That's all gone. So, you know, they could use your help. Take a deer in it to your local processor. If you're not going to use it, and pay for it, just make it a donation to FHFH. Pay the processor for cutting it up and donating it to the local food banks. I think there's 70 agencies that take 70 or 80 agencies. At least that's what it was back in the 90s, and I think they talk about that in the press release, that that receive the deer meat. And in 2015, 2,634 deer were donated, thanks to all who helped the 520,000 meals of venison available to the hungry through 70-plus food banks, food pantries, and feeding ministries across the state. Despite an overall decreased deer harvest, as reported by the Maryland DNR, a successful deer donation season still occurred. There were 737 entries into the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge, and it played a significant role in helping to encourage deer donations through the season. So that's what happened last year. This year, that's all changed. So just keep that in mind when you're out there deer hunting. It's a great program. It's a good thing for hunters. It gives us a good name that we're able to take deer to our processors and donate them. I'm sure that just with the decrease in funding by, I don't know, 60% this year, they're probably going to have to curtail the number of deer that each processor will accept, which is the only way to control the numbers. Let's talk to Fran in Baltimore. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good.
How's everything going? How'd it go last Saturday?
Last Saturday in Westminster. It was warm. The crowd was a little sparse, but it was good. We learned some stuff from Brian Eiler, the Deer Project leader, who had a nice PowerPoint presentation. Ryan Butler was there from the Howard County Deer Management Program. I gave a little talk. E.W. Grimes talked about deer management on the farms. We had the guys there from the Trophy Deer Contest. Our buddy Bob Newton was there scoring, and Tinker Johnson and Fred Horn, they were all scoring a couple of deer heads. And we had the turkey call guys there and some other displays. We gave away some Maryland Hunting Quarterly magazines, and the kids that showed up got to shoot and, you know, shoot 22s. Sherry Winter gave a deer demonstration and showed how to age deer. She actually had some deer there that she had frozen, and you know, showed the extraction of the jaw bones and how they check the ages of the teeth and things like that. And so it was pretty interesting for anybody that was willing to show up. But like I said, the crowd was a little sparse. We didn't see as many people as we'd hoped, but you know, it's a start.
Well, I couldn't make it to where you were. It was a little problem with transportation out there. But I got my first experience outdoors, you know, because you can read all the books you want about all people's adventures and stories, but until you actually go in a park-like or wooded-like area yourself,
that's right.
You have your own experience, right?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So I go out there, and it was a gourmet cooking over the campfire. I says, oh, I've never been to a campfire in my life, so I thought, I'm going to try this. It was easy to get there, easy to get home. And I'm sitting there at the campfire, and we're kind of sitting back off from the campfire, and it was hot, you know, it was hot outside, hot at the fire. And I built up a false sense of security because I'm sitting in my rollator chair, and I'm thinking, I feel comfortable, I feel safe, I'm not sitting on the ground, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I could see everything around me. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking down at the ground because about 30, 40 years ago, I used to play a game, see if I could find four-leaf clovers, but that's another story.
Right.
And so I'm looking down at the ground. My feet are about 10 inches apart. And while I'm sitting there comfortable in my little rollator chair up off the ground, this snake comes between my legs and feet, okay? And I'm looking down, and I thought, oh, what do we have here? He kept coming out, coming out, coming out. He was about 4.5, 5 feet long. He was jet black on the top and white under the bottom,
mm-hmm.
all right? And I looked at him, but you know, to my surprise, I didn't feel afraid of him. I didn't get excited. I didn't scream. I didn't jump. I thought to myself, what are your intentions? Now, if you touch me, I'm going to try to kill you. I said, but if you go about your business and you go your way, I go my way. So he makes a right-hand turn past my right foot, and I tell this cook, and she's all involved in cutting up her potatoes and carrots and stuff. And I say to her, there's a snake headed your way. He just left my space, you know. And so she says, where? And she says, oh, you know, and she told me he wasn't poisonous and that kind of stuff. And she said, for a city person, you stayed so calm. I said, well, it wasn't to get excited. He looked like he had other things on his mind other than me. Now, if he had had me on his mind, it would have been a different story over here. And I smiled to myself. I said, well, friend, you wanted to get out in nature, and you wanted to see what it was like.
Here's up close and personal. Track. Yep, up close and personal.
Up close and personal. They were out there at that park Saturday because people that go on the walkways, you know, the hike-like area,
yeah.
They said three of them had jumped out to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she said they didn't used to come up to people so close like that, but she says she guess they've gotten used to people now. And they come pretty close to you. They just cross right in front of you, you know.
Well, I think the whole snake thing, you know, snakes are deaf. I don't know if you knew that or not. They cannot hear. They sense with the vibrations with their bodies primarily.
Uh-huh.
And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but they're very sensitive to heat as far as the smells and are concerned. And you know, they got to get pretty close to their prey. They have excellent vision. You know, but they do not necessarily hear people coming or talking or anything like that.
So they
kind of you know, I can imagine people on the trails not seeing them because, you know, the vibrations travel through the ground and they tend to stay away from something that sounds like it might, you know, stomp on them or eat them or whatever. But
I think he was using my chair for shade.
He may well have been. I
had the visions in my mind. I said, okay, I've got to equip my chair. And I was thinking about laser beam silent alarm underneath my chair. I just never again will I have a critter under my chair. I'm
Well, you know, as an afterthought, how'd you feel about it? I mean, you sat there and you just kind of remained calm to just kind of.
I wasn't afraid of him. I didn't move. I thought, well, he seems to be going away from me.
Yeah.
So why should I attract his attention by screaming and jumping and acting stupid? So I says, well, he went on that way. So I says, that's the end of that. You know?
Yeah.
But it was kind of exciting, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, by the time I got home, the snake got longer and bigger.
When
I saw it. You know how when guys tell the fish that got away?
Oh, yeah.
It's bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Well, that's by the time I got home and I told my family about the snake, they said, we told you. I said, no, he was this big and he was this, you know.
Uh-huh.
I exaggerated a little bit.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
But that was exciting.
You're becoming an outdoors person when you just exaggerate the story a little bit.
Get out there and experience it for yourself.
There you go. And you did. Well, good. Yeah. Good. Well, you had a good time.
Yeah, I did.
Perfect. Thanks, Fran.
Okay.
Have a
bye-bye.
Good one.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. There goes Fran. Attention gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown is your Maryland one-stop gun shop for sales, for service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstate 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing on the web at hafersguns.com. On Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck Blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, for firearms, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check out the Redneck Blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500 for Redneck Blinds. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Okay, folks, if you're headed out to do some fishing or crabbing, well, I'm going to recommend Clyde Sports Shop. They're your crabbing headquarters here in Baltimore. They got crab traps by Foxy Mate, the number 66 low-profile four-door crab trap, $9.95 each, $84.95 a dozen. They've got the topless T120 crab traps, $129.95 a dozen. They got the blue claw four doors. They've got trot lines, 500-foot tarred line if you need it, 1,000-foot of Loctite number 5, 1,000-foot already pre-rigged trot line with snoods is $179.95. They got everything else, the 10-pound weights, the snoods, the bait bags, the floats, new baskets and lids, accessories like measures, tongs, gloves, crab mallets. They've got the bait, salted eel, and chicken necks. They've got aluminum steamers, too, 20 to 50 quarts. You can call for prices on that. Clyde's Custom Crab Seasoning to top it all off. Commercial crab pots for your pier, crab hotels, crab baskets, cloth and wire crab rings, cloth and wire crab nets. All Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. www.clydesports, two S's in the middle, .com, on the web. Time to book your dove hunt with Upper Bay Gun Club. Hunt over sunflowers on great farms loaded with doves. Dove Hunt runs $150 per person and includes lunch. Hurry, the early dates are filling up fast and space is limited. Hunt deer, waterfowl, and turkeys on private farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership like I did, or call about guided day hunts or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Call Tom at 443-309-3788. For the best hunting of your life, call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yes! Here comes Amos! Now, Amos Moses was a Cajun. He lived by himself in the swamp. They hunted alligator for a living. They just knock him in the head with a stomp. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting alligator down in the swamp, boy. Now everybody blamed his old man for making him mean as a snake. When Amos Moses was a boy, his daddy would use him for alligator bait. Tie a rope around his waist and throw him in the swamp. Alligator bait in the Louisiana Bayou.
We got a little theme going here, making him mean as a snake. I don't know what's going on with the snakes here this morning. So, hey, they're out there. You know, the black rat snakes, they're harmless. They probably do more good than harm. Hey, a couple things from this week. Yesterday, I was on the Mid-Shore. I was up coming from Millington over from Cypress Creek. Did I mention it's Hoyt Day today at Cypress Creek? Yeah, you might want to check that out. Coming across country to Chestertown. And I saw this redtail sitting on a wire, redtail hawk, and he launched just as, you know, pretty much in front of me, and I watched him, and he just kind of, it was almost like a casual thing for him. He launched off the telephone wire and kind of dove, but just kind of put, you know, had the wings back, had the brakes on at the same time, right across the road, right in front of me. Into this field, and I mean, you know, the field berm's right there, and he was only maybe 30 feet on the other side of it. Whatever he landed on, he caught. So I'm thinking, you know, it wasn't going very far, very fast. I don't think it was a little mouse or something like that, because he didn't really slam it. I think he might have been on a snake, and he just casually took his time, went over there and grabbed it, and it was pretty cool, and I drove on by. The other day, what day was it? Was it, I can't remember. Good grief. It must have been Wednesday. Yeah, it was Wednesday. I picked up my grandson, Jake, and he grabbed his bow, and I grabbed mine. And my intention was, if his bow didn't fit him any longer, we were gonna invest in a new one. And so we get down to Macrotech in Brooklyn. And Len was there. Len Marsh, the owner, was there. And Corey, his tech. So Jacob said, you know, I said, Jake, I said, you know, we got to find out if you've grown a couple inches. You know, you're bigger now. We got to see if your bow still fits you. So Corey said, Jake, draw your bow. Let me see what you're doing. And he drew and shot a shot, and Corey said, okay, you're having a little trouble finding your anchor point. Why don't we put a kisser button on here? Okay. So while they were getting Jacob together, I grabbed my bow, and I took a couple shots, and Len came over, and he looked, and he goes, you don't have an anchor point either. I'm like, yes, I do. No, you don't. It's okay. So we started talking about this bow. I had this bow set up a couple years ago, and I've taken a deer with it, and just gotten back into shooting the compound. You know, the shoulders are doing pretty good, and I'm thinking, you know, I can always turn to the crossbow, but I do like shooting the compound. So I shot a couple shots, and I had a decent group at, you know, at 20 yards. I'm saying decent, like 4 or 5 inches at the most, probably 4 inches, and basically on target in the center of the target. So he said, let me see you shoot. I said, okay. So I shot. He goes, well, we're going to put a kisser button on. I said, fine. He goes, your grip. I said, what about it? He goes, you're gripping that bow with all your fingers. I said, well, yeah, I know. I said, I don't want to hit my arm. I curl my little finger under. And he goes, what's that all about? I said, I was taught that you curl your little finger under, you'll cock your arm out and you won't hit your arm. He said, well, your bow's not balanced. He said, you should be able to just hold it with your thumb and your forefinger and shoot. I said, okay, what do you mean it's not balanced? He said, hold it up there. And he held it, or he said, let me see it. He held it up and the top of the bow cocked to the right. He said, I can fix that. I said, okay. So I went over and messed around, took my stabilizer off. He put a little accessory on there about 3 inches long and offset my stabilizer and brought the bow back over and held it with two fingers. It was perfectly straight. He said, I created this offset stabilizer accessory. It screws the offset accessory into the stabilizer hole in front of the bow, moves it to wherever it needs to be, and then attaches the stabilizer to the end of that arm, whatever angle it needs to be to balance your bow. Pretty clever device. And he has these accessories made for exclusively for the shop. And I started to shoot. He said, "Nah, you better put a kisser button on there too." So we put two kisser buttons on, hour range time. Put this accessory on with the stabilizer. Didn't spend a lot of money. Didn't need any arrows or anything. And by the time I left, the groups were down to about, I don't know, 2 inches, 2.5 inches at 20 yards. And he says, now, there's one thing I want to tell you. He says, it's fine to shoot the way you're shooting, but don't shoot groups if you're using carbon arrows. I said, why? He said, all those spots on the target are there for a reason. I said, okay. He said, you shoot groups, you're going to nick those carbon arrows eventually with the field point. And he said, here's some pictures of guys that have pulled their bows back and released their carbon arrows, and you can do damage to the inside of the carbon arrows. You can, you know, they'll splinter when you release. They can go through your hand, and it's devastating surgery if you send a carbon shaft through your hand. And I said, you know, that's probably a good idea. He says, use those spots, pick those spots, and don't shoot those arrows close together. Good tip. Never thought of it. But, you know, aluminum arrows, you can see the dents. Wooden arrows, you can see the cracks or feel the cracks. But a carbon arrow, you get a little microscopic crack in there by striking it with another field point. It's very possible that you can damage those arrows. And one of them, carbon arrow blows up on you. It's not a pretty sight. So just a couple of words of caution for you bow hunters on the upcoming season. So, hey, look. I try to pass it on. If I learn something new, you're going to learn something new. Or hopefully. At least we're going to put it out there. Whether you learn it or not, I don't know. But I like the tip. I like the way the bow fits now, the way the bow shoots. Jacob, by the way, didn't have to invest in another bow. However, his bow is cranked up to the maximum poundage that he can use. And so next year he's going to be pulling more weight. We're going to be talking about a different bow for Jake next year. So we'll see how it all works out. Coffee time. Hold on. Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. So, there we are. Robin sent me the link to the Star Democrat. It's going to be the Cornelia Marie, you know, the Deadliest Catch guys, Josh Harris and Casey McManus are going to be at the Waterman's Appreciation Day at the Chesapeake Bay Maritime Museum tomorrow. And crabs are, as I said, $25 a dozen, so that's a pretty good price. And I know these guys, I know the guys that steam them, and they're good crabs. We've eaten their crabs before. So it's all good down there in Talbot County. So, all right. Redneck blinds. I was talking to the owner of the farm where Jacob and I hunt sick of deer, and he just purchased 4 redneck blinds from Steve House for in the marsh back there. He's hacking his way through the marsh to get to the this one particular stand that is a long ways back in there. They're going to put a redneck blind on that stand, and you know, redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Yeah, you need blinds for the field edge or deep in the woods or in the marsh, like my buddy. I'll choose redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, the new soft side hunting blinds, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, for firearms and crossbow hunting, even muzzleloaders too, I bet. Stephen House is your Maryland redneck blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blinds website, then call Stephen House. Here's the number, 301-331-2500. That's 331-2500. And you can see a redneck blind on display at Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown. Now, my buddy told me that he went to Steve's house, or his farm, actually. He said, what a display of the blinds laid out there on the farm. He said he has a beautiful place. He said you can see all the blinds. You can check out the ones you want. So I'll trust my friend who's been there. Now, at Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, well, we want to just simply say this. Listen, gun owners and hunters and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing, Hafer's, Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland, is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns? Man, they've got them at hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading? hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing? hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms? hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing on the web, hafersguns.com, or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. Hey, Maryland's Upper Eastern Shore has a rich tradition for dove and waterfowl, deer and turkey hunting, and now you can hunt over a dozen Upper Shore farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership, like I did, and hunt all season long, or call about guided day hunts with Upper Bay Gun Club, or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Give Tom a call at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the
Linex Bedliner, and Truck Gear Accessories. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Start your day with Sean and Frank. Maryland's wake-up call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Is that true, Brian? Did they actually catch the president's daughter Malia smoking a joint? Hard to say. Yeah, it's just speculation on my part. I mean, huh? Well, I know he wrote all about it, how big a toker he was, but you know, hey, that never affects you. You know, it's. Okay, Blue Crab, housekeeping changes. These are new regulations on Maryland scoping of possible regulations. If you go to the fisheries page on the DNR website and type in scoping, it'll take you right there. And it's in the press release. It's the newest. There's a link right there for those of you who want to get online. But here's the regulations come up for the lobster, the blue crab, the channeled whelk, commercial license targets, fishing in non-tidal waters. We're going to hear about that here in the next hour with Lisa Grimes. Commercial and recreational gear talks about trot lines, bow fishing, gigging, slat baskets, bush bobs, bank poles, and dip nets. Change the definition of bow to archery equipment, horseshoe crabs, scup, sharks, smooth hound sharks, and tuna. Those are the regulation changes that are being put out there for possible changes. So the one most important to our crabbers is the department needs to clarify that a licensed individual can keep one bushel of crabs. The current wording of the regulation for recreational crab pots can be interpreted to mean they can only keep two dozen. The intention of the catch limits is to it. The intention of the catch limits it to allow anyone who is licensed to keep one bushel of crabs. Number two, the department needs to clarify the crabbing license exemptions so that it is clear that all individuals on a boat with a crabbing decal may help catch crabs. So there you are. Those two changes to the crab laws, just basic housekeeping deals. You want to read them again? The department needs to clarify that a licensed individual can keep one bushel of crabs. The current wording of the regulation for recreational crab pots can be interpreted to mean they can only keep two dozen. The intention of the catch limits it to allow anyone who is licensed to keep one bushel of crabs. Boy, that's hard to read. I had to go over it twice. The intention of the catch limits it to allow anyone who is licensed to keep one bushel of crabs. You can rewrite that a little better there, folks. The department needs to clarify the crabbing license exemption so that it is clear that all individuals on a boat with a crabbing decal may help catch crabs. That's not the way it's written now, but that's what they're going to change it to. And I'm not going to read the lobster and the channeled whelk and all the gear changes, the horseshoe crabs, the scup's a netting thing, and the smoothhound shark. I'm not going to read that. So, anyway, if you're interested, hit the DNR website or call me, and I'll send you the link, and you can read it for yourself. Or not call me, but email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I talked to Tom Slavin. The other day, it was on the, I was over at one of the shops over in the Eastern Shore and talked to Tom, and he said, you know, sunflowers are great. The doves are there. The first day of dove season sold out, but he's got, you know, openings for early in the season with Upper Bay Gun Club. You'll hear the commercial. You've heard the commercials here. And we're ready for the big dove shoot for the Maryland Hunting Coalition. We just had a very nice group of guys from the Eastern Shore. I know a couple of them that are coming. There's a group of 10 coming. So we're getting filled up fast. There's a few slots open. If you're interested in dove hunting over sunflowers on one of the premier farms on the Upper Eastern Shore, there's a handful of them. We're going to be shooting four or five farms over sunflowers. Give us a call at the, give me a call if you want. You can find my number online or in any of the magazines, or you can email us at ellis@ellisoutdoors.com for details. I'm more than likely just going to refer you to the Maryland Hunting Coalition, website, which is MD Hunting Coalition, COALITION.org. And you can purchase your slot right there for the upcoming Maryland Hunting Coalition dove hunt. We're going to have the grill meister up there in the Upper Shore provide us with pulled pork and side dishes, probably coleslaw, baked beans. We're going to have a great lunch. We're going to go shoot some doves and get together at the end for some fellowship. And we're going to have a great day up there on September 17th, Saturday, September 17th. We hope you can make it. The doves are flying. Sunflowers are ripe and ready to go. My name is Alan Ellis. This has been the first hour of the Outdoorsman Show. Coming up next is Letha Grimes with Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fishery Service. And Letha and I will be talking about some of these freshwater fishing changes and some youth programs and whatever else happens to come up. So why not? Stay tuned, and we'll be back after the news. Again, there's the music. Time for me to say get out, stay out, stay safe, and protect yourself.